You're listening to the Red Diamond Courier, an Elder Scrolls podcast. Here are your hosts, Bob Chichinski and Dog Bark 24.
Welcome everyone to episode 130 of the Red Diamond Courier. I am here with you as always, Bob Chichinski, with my good friend Dog Bark 24. My dude, how are you this fine week?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Excited to be here and get out some more patch notes info. It's in perfect time, you know, the weekend before it comes out on console, everyone's going to get to just really dive into this stuff with us and, be ready for release. Let's be honest. If you have been on PC, you've been busy, there was double XP day, St. Patrick's Day maybe was in there. I mean, you've been busy. So now, great weekend for PC console players to come together and just really, dive into these patch notes. So me and Dog are excited to get into it. We hope you all are as well. It's the deeper side of our update 41 patch notes. We already kind of got through the PvP stuff with you last episode. So, we're going to get right into it. And as always, with this update, comes new news and events. So we're going to start off with that as always. Dogged, what is coming up next for us in the wonderful world of Tamriel?
All right, so next up we have the Jester's Festival. That's going to start March 28th and ends April 4th. During this, we're going to have a passive double XP buff. So just like, what they've been doing recently, the double experience is just now passively done. Always active. You don't need to eat the pie. The pie is useless.
Yeah. That's following suit as for, for the most of the events I've been doing, which, I think we've said we like.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be cool if they did it like 5% XP buff or something. Just to be like, hey, there's this thing, there's this memento. We have this whole tools category. It'd be cool if there's tools to use for it, but I don't know. Either way.
Yeah. Either way.
During the Jester's Festival, you can do quests to get tickets and Jester Festival boxes. There's like one in Glenumbra, one Auradon, one in Stone Falls, a couple in Stormhaven, I believe. But I think there's like five of them now. Each of the Jester Festival boxes can include the following items: Festive Dazzlers, Cherry Blossom Confetti, Revelry Pies, Festive Furnishing, Jester's Festival Provisioning Recipes, Treasures that can be sold to vendors for gold, Previous Year's Style Pages, and one of the following: a random unbound page of either the Broom or Bucket styles, Regal Regalia or Second Seed Style Pages, or a fragment for previous Jester's collectibles, which would be the Catapult Surprise Box Memento, Sovereign Style Pet, and the Playful Prankster Surprise Box Memento.
So, as always, pretty good treasure trove of, fun assortment of items.
Yeah, a fun assortment of items that you just end up deleting at the end of the event, because, I was going to do something with these pies, but I never did, so.
Yeah, more like it just ends up clogging my inventory after the event because I forget to delete it, and then I feel bad, because I'm like, well, wait, maybe I'll want to, throw cherry blossoms at someone, and then it's a memento anyway, so, I don't know, man. The Dazzlers, though, shooting those off, that's what it's all about.
I usually get rid of all of them, and then the purple one, because I keep that one because it's purple, And I'm like, wait a second, this isn't a useful purple. This is just a garbage purple. And I end up destroying it in like July or August or something.
Well, at least it makes it that far.
So in addition to those boxes, the first box of the day you get is called the Stupendous Jester's Festival box. And it has a chance to drop the following goodies: the new Jester Seeker's suit outfit style page, the Jester Skinnilator rune box, the Cherry Blossom Branch rune box, Cattle's Kitchen Weapon style pages, high value treasures, festive noisemaker parts, and joke popper part fragments.
Nothing exciting new except just another new style page, so I think I went into my feelings on style pages last event pretty specifically, so I'll stay out of that.
Yeah. We'll do it for like the next time, right?
Yeah. There will be a next time.
there will most definitely be a next time. And a time after that. And probably more like 6 more times this year.
Yeah, or next event, maybe, so.
Yeah. Right, as far as the tickets go, you get 3 tickets a day for a total of 21 tickets. You can spend them on all 3 Molag, Ball, Illusion, and Imp pet fragments. And also all 3 fragments of the Plain Melon's Master body and face markings, as well as bound fragments for the Jester's Minstrel Daedrith costume. And that's all under the Impresario. Does she have a name? Or is it just Impresario?
It is Impresario.
Okay, that's her name. Okay.
Yeah, that is her name.
You can also spend tickets under Nenualer, the Indric vendor. You can get your basic Indric, Dawnwood Indric berries, Spectral Indric berries, Springtide Indric pet, and Haunting Indric pet. Man, it just doesn't feel right to call it the proper name of Indric. I feel like it needs to go back to Induric instead of Indric. Although, I don't know, maybe you're saying it the same way, and this is pointless, but I don't know.
You know, they finally stopped putting out so many a year, and you you kind of lost your touch with it, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a thing of the past, and maybe it should be left as a thing of the past.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, the 3-syllable Induric is better than the 2-syllable Indric, but
I don't know. You could cheer them either way, you know. So
yeah,
that's what's important in a name: the cheering ability.
Exactly. Yeah, and then lastly, the Impresario's assistant will sell the following items. Also purchasable with event tickets: the unstable Morpholith pet fragments, and the Doomshar pet plateau house fragments. And I'm pretty sure they have like the hidden shoulder fragment thing too, if you haven't gotten that yet. But you probably have, because it's been out for a little while. But I'm pretty sure that one's located there too, if you still need it.
I think the only thing that I truly need from the Jester's Festival is that Daedroth costume, which it was hard to get all the pieces for last time. Like, I was getting like one ever, so I think I'll make sure I get it this time, because it's kind of hilarious and I like it. I want to run around Cyrodiil with that costume on.
I don't think I got that one either, so
I swear I got like 4 pieces for it out of like the 10 you need in the entirety of the event, and I actually was trying because I wanted it, so I don't know.
No.
I also suck at getting tickets, so.
Oh, yeah. It's probably one of those things where, like, oh, you have a chance to get it from the gold box.
It is. Once a day.
Yeah. Just like the new style page. The Seeker Jester suit. You only get it from the gold one. At least according to, you know, the
article. And it's a shorter, I feel, Jester's Festival than usual, so.
No, Jester's Festival is always short.
Yeah, but that's short. I feel like they're making way for their huge 10th anniversary, you know, event.
No, the Jester's Festival was always only a week, I think.
All right, if you insist, I'll believe.
Yeah,
we'll have to consult the calendar mancer on this one. Anyways, Jester's Festival is coming. As you guys just heard Dog Detail, there is some new stuff. A lot of returning stuff, a lot of chances to get some of the stuff you might have missed. Maybe you didn't get that costume yet, like we haven't. It's actually pretty, pretty cool, little funny one. And like I said, I think running around Cyrodiil with that would be just hilarious. So now, speaking of Cyrodiil, let's move right on into our current state of Cyrodiil, because as always, we've got some scores for you guys this week. I'd be lying if I said I've touched Cyrodiil since Mayhem. I really have played little ESO, and in the time I do log into my like low-level characters so I could get, you know, the keep the mount speed up. It's really so fun to have 60 mount speed in an Undervet campaign. It just makes you feel like God. So keep that up. And I'm logging in, I'm checking the scores and stuff, and like, yeah, I seen, you know, I could have gone like gone hard, but you know, I just didn't have the drive in this time, you know, after Mayhem. So I think I'm just taking that rest period until, you know, DLC comes out, and then just really go hard on some PvE for a couple weeks, you know, just build up my PvP, you know, desire again. Get back to the point where I'm like, oh man, I want to get into PvP because I haven't done it in a couple weeks. So yeah, that's my random aside on my desires of PvP level, dog. There you go.
Yep, now we know.
Now you know. Now everyone knows. You know, I guess whatever I have to ramble to keep me awake. So there you go. Anyways, we do have scores for you guys as well. Dogged went and got them this week. We got 10 days left on both PC and Xbox. Their same day scores for Grey Host as always, and we're going to start with the PC scores, PCNA. We got EP in first with 62.7k. DC in second, 61.8k. And I have no idea, dog. It says EP twice.
Oh, that's probably AD then.
All right, well, let's just assume that it's AD. So AD at 60k, bringing up the caboose. Pretty close, though, you know, within 3k, separating the top to the bottom. So really good stuff going on over there. I bet that one will come right down to the end. And then for the EU side of things, we've got AD in the lead with 74k. EP behind him at 54k, big gap. And DC, unfortunately, in last with 44k. Pretty big gap over there. AD looking like they're going to run away with it at that point. And yeah, hopefully maybe DC can get a little bit closer to EP, close that gap. You know, make it a respectful loss, at the least. So, Dogged, how about Xbox?
Alright. Well, as far as Xbox goes, you know, scores are pretty much like the reverse of what's happening over on PC. We have, in first, we have a DC in the lead with a 66k, EP behind them with 58k, and AD trailing in last with 50k. And then on the Xbox EU side of things, we have another DC in the lead with 74k, AD in second with 52k, and it says AD in last with 40k, but I'm going to assume it's EP in last with 40k, but
some bold assumptions you're making.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I don't know how you managed to do it once for both consoles, the PC, and once for Xbox.
Yeah, I don't know how I ended up doing that, because I take scores one at a time. So
I don't think you've ever done that once in 130 episodes.
Yeah, you did it twice. And I did it twice.
That is magical.
Yeah. Well, if you know, EP, you're actually in second place right now. I'm sorry. we'll get you next week or in a couple of days.
Yeah, we'll get you back. Just like we'll get PlayStation back.
I'll make sure to get your second place covered before the end of the month, all right?
And PlayStation, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. March, April is going to be your guys' month, I think. Mm-hmm. It's going to be our 10-year anniversary ESO gift to you. Mm-hmm. We're going to get back on the PS4 score bandwagon, even though probably more PS5 than 4 now. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. And you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, I guess you could say it's the April Fool's joke, right?
I can.
Yeah.
So I always, I leave myself room, you know, wiggle room. Yep. All right. So we are through the current events and news. We're through the current state of Cyrodiil and scores. Now, let's get right on into the Scions of Athelia DLC and Update 41. We have clearly a bunch to go over with you guys. Yeah, so we're just going to hop right into it. Right off the bat, our two new dungeons. We've got Oathsworn Pit and Bedlam Vale. Oathsworn's pit entrance is going to be found in the northern section of the Reach. The entrance is north of the Druidic Mountains Way Shrine. So you could go check that out. And the Bedlam Vale's entrance is located in western Hrothgar, north of the Siege Road Way Shrine. So if you want to go check out their additions to the map and see the actual entrances of those dungeons, those are where they are, which is usually pretty cool. Each of these dungeons features a challenging hard mode for each of their three boss encounters. So, confirmed, still three bosses per dungeon, hard modes on each, possibly side bosses.
You mean probable secret bosses.
Yes, yes.
So secret.
And which means that they made curated drops and then they ruin it with this three boss thing because you can't get certain pieces from certain bosses. It just makes no sense to me. But that's a conversation for another day. Anyways, after that, obviously, they have some unique achievement awards that are available for completing the dungeons, including a unique skin, the Blood Marks of Malakath, which is available for those who complete both Oathsworn Pit and Bedlam Vale on at least Veteran difficulty. Beat them both on Veteran, you get the skin. It's not the most exciting one I've ever wanted to go get, but it's also not the worst. Two unique mementos, the Malakath Helm Haunt and Echoneer Examination mementos, are available for those who complete both the, you know, different dungeons. There's one for each on Veteran. The thing I did hear, there's a bug with one of the mementos, like something about when you use it still in the dungeon or something, it like erases your outfit styles and you have to redo them entirely. That was a thing on PC, I guess. I don't know if any of you guys had to go through that. I apologize. That is a crazy amount of work that, is a big reason why I just wear costumes.
Or does it like reset it, or does it like set it to like option 0, which is like no outfit?
Nah, yeah,
if it full on resets the entire, it,
that, yeah.
But if it just puts it on like set 0, then that's all right.
No, it like it just took everything off of their outfits and they had to go reset it piece by piece.
Oh, that's rough right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I hope that not too many of you had to go through that. I know how hard you all work on your fashion scrolls outfits.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're like, oh, I got a new memento, got to look at this. And now you're going to be like, nope, never again.
Yeah.
Never again.
So, the last couple things here. They have a unique die you could also earn, of course. Hopefully this one's really cool. Usually the dungeon ones are some of my more favorite ones. This one's called Artifact Hunter Amber. So that seems promising. And then there are several titles to be obtained. Oathsworn. Bedlam's Disciple, Pitmaster, The Self-Governing, The Vengeful, The Intervener, and Cake Connoisseur. Dog, does the Cake Connoisseur title really have to do with the dungeons?
I don't know. I mean, I just take the notes from the patch notes, all right?
I mean, okay, I feel like it has to do with eating the anniversary cakes. Maybe they just... I'm wrong.
It's called Cake Devourer, so I don't know.
I don't know. But if any of those titles I listed off sound interesting to you guys, you're going to be able to attain them in-game, in the dungeons. Apparently, we'll find out with the cake one. But yeah, so... get on in those dungeons, you know, maybe make a tank or healer and go, you know, queue and be that guy that, you know, helps propel the community forward into being able to do dungeons because everyone just wants the DPS. So, yeah, you know, be that guy. Go tank on an Arcanist. It's so fun and just makes you feel ridiculously powerful. And last but not least, of course, before I ramble, there are some new unique housing items to get too. Probably some you can get in the dungeon, I would assume, picking up wise. And probably, for sure, one of the unique ones you could buy from the, like, Undaunted kind of furnishing area dungeon, you know, trophy. And, of course, the... you know, trophy and plaque that comes with defeating the boss on veteran and normal for both dungeons. So yeah, lots of good stuff, and you will be able to earn it all in game. So Dogged, I'm sure that with two new dungeons comes plenty of new sets.
Yes, indeed. There are plenty of new sets.
All right. Well, let's get started with the Bedlam Veil sets in that case.
All right. So the first one is the Light Armor set. This was called Blind Path Induction. And its fifth piece reads, increase the strength of your damage shields by 13% to targets 15 meters or closer to you. Increase your healing done by 13% to targets more than 15 meters away from you. So the first part is really only effective on a DK healer. They have a skill that applies a shield to multiple people around them. So, you know, that's really effective with from a set. Otherwise, you have an arc healer with their ultimate, you know, pretty OP, or any healer with a barrier. So to me, this set doesn't seem very effective at all. And then I guess with the sword changes, this could be used for a sword healer too. But I don't know, just doesn't seem very effective to me, unless if you're, you know, a DK or a Sork.
Yeah, it's very little too situational for my taste.
Yeah.
All right, so the medium set is going to be Tarnished Nightmare. And this one reads that when you deal critical damage to an enemy, glass shards burst 8 meters around them, dealing physical damage to enemies in the burst and applying the Sundered status effect, dealing additional physical damage and applying Minor Breach for 4 seconds, reducing the target's physical and spell resistance by 2974. This effect can occur once every 8 seconds and the damage scales off the higher of your weapon or spell damage. So, yeah, that was a mouthful. What do you think of this set, dog?
So, depending on how good the proc damage really determines if it's good or not, the Minor Breach having 50% uptime is kind of a bummer. Especially since, you know, Minor Breach is somewhat easy to get.
It would have to deal a lot of damage.
Yeah, I agree.
Like a crazy amount.
I think this is just, you know, okay, this looks cool. That's about it, kind of set.
Yeah. How about the heavy armor set, dog?
All right, we have a Reflected Fury. When you taunt an enemy, gain a stack of broken shards for 5 seconds, up to 5 stacks max. You can gain 1 stack every second. When broken shards ends, you release the stacks in an 8-meter blast, dealing physical damage to enemies hit and applying major maim to them for 3 seconds per stack of bone shard consumed, reducing their damage done by 10%, and the damage scales off your max health. And I guess this could be effective on an arc tank. Anything you don't taunt, the major maim 10% less damage won't really matter too much, honestly. So it's, I don't know, in my opinion, kind of bad. But
yeah, I don't like, there's this thing they do with these tank sets where it's just like, take a bunch of damage and then burst out a bunch of stuff. And it's like, I don't care. Like, I don't want to burst out a very minimal amount of damage as a tank. Like, and then there, it's like minor maim for 3 seconds. I can't even burst it again for 5 seconds, you know, tops.
So, if you have 5 stacks, you get, you know, minor maim for 15 seconds, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's 3% or 3 seconds per stack.
Per stack, okay. Okay, well, then I guess that, you know, does make it slightly better than what I was thinking, for sure, but... I don't know. Like, there's just different ways to... There's so many different sets that... do passive damage as a tank, you know, that, like, I guess I could see this one working its way into some people's rotation with the major maim. But yeah, the fact that it's on the taunt is like, I don't know.
I agree.
All right, so the monster mask is going to be called the Blind. As always, it's a 2-piece set. The one piece is going to add a crit chance, which is actually pretty nice. And the 2-piece is going to do critically healing yourself or an ally, grants them a Hydro Glass damage shield that absorbs up to 2700 damage for 6 seconds. While the damage shield holds and for 3 seconds after it ends, the target gains minor force, increasing their critical damage done by 10%. So, I don't know. Dog, you're the healer. Is this thing going to be any good?
This isn't a terrible monster set for a healer. Maybe this is what the light armor set is supposed to be paired with. But, I don't know. I don't use damage shields, so.
Why is the damage shield... like, so low? Is that going to change? Is that tooltip going to change depending on your...
I would assume so.
Because 2700 damage is not enough, my friend.
Yeah. Like I said, maybe you're supposed to pair that up with the light armor set and...
yeah.
Have a couple hundred more, but...
Alright, yeah. So, let's get in right into the Oathsworn Pit sets in that case.
Alright. Well, right off the top, we have the Lion Armor set, Cinders of Anthelmir. its fifth piece passive will read on this. On dealing damage, summon a Cinder Moth for 8 seconds that chases the target and searches for a new one within 8 meters if the initial is slain. The first enemy that gets near the Cinder Moth causes it to stop and burst after 1 second, dealing flame damage and applying burning to enemies within 8 seconds, or within 8 meters. This effect can occur once every 8 seconds and scales off your weapon and spell damage. This is actually an interesting sounding proc set. Especially for PvP based on, you know, the chasing mechanic and AoE damage. So it might be interesting.
Yeah, that it's kind of interesting. Imagine pairing that with like a Blast Bones.
Yeah, if you still use Blast Bones.
If you still play Necromancer is more like it at this point.
you might want to have a good sit down for the next episode, but.
Yeah, well, no, I'm aware of how bad it gets.
Okay.
That's what I was saying, if anyone still plays Necromancer. Because yeah. They just keep making it worse on us. But anyways, for the medium armor set, it's going to be called Sloth Rug's Hunger. At least I'm assuming that's how you pronounce that. The 5-piece for this one is going to read, healing yourself or an ally... On a medium set, that's an interesting way to start. Healing yourself or an ally makes your target blood hungry for 3 seconds. Dealing direct damage to an enemy makes them bloodied for 3 seconds. Bloodied enemies take 4% more damage from and deal 4% less damage to blood hungry targets. I don't know about this one. I mean, just the times, like 3 seconds for both, like, what is that? Why can't it be like 5 to 10 or in that area? Like, not only do I gotta do direct damage, but I gotta be healing my allies too, and it's only gonna last 3 seconds? Like, come on. I like the concept though.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Another interesting set. Sounds pretty up my alley, you know, because I like to be, you know, a healer that does damage. This can also be a pretty solid set in PvP. So that seems pretty cool.
I just feel like you're going to be like, Breath of Life, jabs, Breath of Life, jabs.
Jabs heal yourself. So, and plus I would put healing over time over myself. So.
Yeah.
Just let that tick every 2 seconds.
I guess that's true. I don't know. Well, okay, it's easy for you because you're a Templar, you know, but like everyone else.
And I use the rest of the staff, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is interesting, though.
All right, next up we have the heavy armor set. This is going to be called Black Grove Grounding. After taking direct damage 3 times within 5 seconds, you create a 5-meter area for 10 seconds. You and group members who touch the area gain grounding for 15 seconds, reducing the cost of roll dodge by 20% and increasing block mitigation by 12%. This effect can occur once every 10 seconds. So that's, you know, way over 100% uptime. And the ground AoE gives you a buff so everyone who doesn't need to sit in a potential dangerous area. So you can just, like, dip in, go around, go mess around, and we'll do whatever. So this sounds like a pretty good tanking set to me.
Yeah. The roll dodge thing is kind of like 20%. Okay. Block mitigation higher.
When you're a Magicka character, you only have, like, 12k stamina, you know? Like
that's true. That's true. All right. So let's get to this monster set. Antelmir's Construct. So the 1-piece is going to do weapon and spell damage. You know people love that. And then the 2-piece, attacking an enemy with a fully charged heavy attack, throws an axe at your enemy, dealing physical damage and reducing their armor for 5 seconds. This effect can occur once every 10 seconds, and the damage and armor reduction scale off the higher of your weapon or spell damage. The axe drops to the ground after traveling to your target for 5 seconds. Touching the axe reduces the cooldown of this set by 5 seconds. Ooh. That is actually pretty interesting. Because you guys all knew what I was going to complain about, the uptime. And boom, they were like, oh, well, shut up, Bob. Because look at this cool way to make it 100% uptime.
I also think this is an interesting set. For me personally, I think this is probably the least interesting one from this dungeon. But way better than the other dungeon sets for sure. Armor reduction, PvE in general, isn't very needed in group content. However, this set could be good in like arenas or the infinite archive or even like overworld bosses. And depending on how fast the axe is thrown will determine if it would be good in like a PvP situation. Definitely interesting for sure.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting one.
I think I can create a good summary for these two dungeons, all right? And all the sets, right?
Let's hear it.
So the Bedlam Veil item sets make you want to put on a veil to help you sleep. While the Oathsworn Pit item sets makes you want to swear an oath to go into the pit to farm and actually use those sets. Clever dungeon naming design or clever item set placement.
Yeah, there you go. You said it. No, that about sums it up. I think that the Oathsworn ones are probably going to be the more favorite as well, you know. But hey, we got to farm the Bedlam Veil ones too, dog. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, I guess. You know, you probably want to go to bed afterwards, though, you know.
Well, I'm just going to say stop saying go to bed, okay? Because it's not the... don't give me ideas like that. But before we get into the rest of our episode, we do want to take a quick break here after the sets. You know, it's a good time to remind you guys we are part of the wildly popular international podcast network, Robots Radio Podcast Network, where at robotsradio.net, you can find us and a plethora of other amazing podcasts that I basically guarantee you will fall in love with, at least 5 to 10 of them. So, you know, there you go. It's a guarantee. So head on over to robotsradio.net and check it out.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stopped loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, two former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast Queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. Two men. One wasteland. And so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast, rated R, now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.
All right. So we are back and we're going to get right into it. So, Dogged, what are we starting off with the rest of this episode?
All right, so we're starting off strong with some unified repair kits. Gear repair kits have been unified. No longer will you receive petty, minor, lesser, common, greater, or grand repair kits. You'll just get equipment repair kits. and those will be able to repair gear of any level, like the grand repair kits of old.
So finally, that will stop clogging my inventory.
Yep. And I'm pretty sure they just, like, they just turn into the new things. Unlike, you know, the soul gems of old, where, like, occasionally if you search for them, you can find, like, oh, this is, like, a petty soul gem or the common soul gem or whatever.
Yeah. They're like an artifact nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So we also got increased Undaunted key rewards. The Undaunted have finally recognized the increased difficulty of daily dungeon quests offered by Urgalarg, so DLC quests. Accordingly, the Undaunted key rewards have been increased to incentivize intrepid adventurers to band together and clear out those more dangerous dungeons. This does not affect quests offered by Glirion or Maj, so the other base game dungeon, you know, pledge givers, not them. Now, the keys went from normal completion, you got one key, is now at two. Veteran completion was at one, you now get three. And veteran hard mode used to grant two keys, and it now grants four. So, you know, if you've always been skipping those DLC pledges because they only gave one key even on normal or even on veteran, then hey, maybe it's time to add them back in your rotation, make some extra keys.
Yep, I agree, it's pretty cool. Although I will say, I feel like they should add City of Ash 2 into that mix, at least the normal and veteran.
I'm fine with that.
City of Ash 2 is essentially a unofficial DLC dungeon. It's long. It's the hardest base game dungeon. It deserves to be its own thing. All right. Next up, we have a new mythic. It's going to be the necklace, Torka, the Last Aelid King. It reads, disable all other item set bonuses. Gain 1337 weapon and spell damage, 500 magic and stamina recovery, and reduce your damage taken by 15%. There's a dev comment, and it reads, this item set actively disables any other item set bonuses you have equipped, including other one-piece set bonuses. So I guess people got that confusing, that when it says disable all other item set bonuses, it meant all, but luckily, you know, the dev comment helped them understand. Hopefully. If they still don't understand, you know, I don't know what to tell them, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really weird piece right there.
Mm-hmm. But I guess this is like the opposite of a 12-piece item set, whereas this is just a one and done, and you can wear whatever you have golded out and not currently in use, which I guess is pretty cool, but I don't know. I look at this and I'm like, ooh, that doesn't seem very effective to me, but I'm sure people will look at that and be like, ooh, that actually looks pretty good, but.
All right, dog, so why don't you take us through some of these new collectibles that are coming out?
All right, so we have some new outfits, and it's our favorite things, right? We have some style pages. Style pages for class sets are now available in the Infinite Archive to collect. Style pages are curated and will drop for your class first. Other style pages will drop after a set is complete. All pages are usable, but you will not be able to outfit your character in class styles other than your current class. So yeah, everybody is super excited that we have class style pages now. Do you think there's an achievement for them? I don't. But maybe there is. And if there is one, we can only hope that they add style achievements for the other style pages, like, you know, White Shrike's Mayhem, Jester's Festival, and all the other ones. But enough about style pages. You can also get a pet, the Mirrormoor Mud Crab. That's available upon completing the prologue quest for Prisoner of Fate and triggering the eponymous achievement. And the Unkindness of Raven's Body and Face Markings are available when you use the Runebound Tome, Unkindness of Ravens. The tome requires 50 Siege of Cyrodiil merits to use and can be purchased with 100,000 Telvar stones. So something else you can spend your Telvar on.
Alright, so we also have some new furnishings. They've added several new housing furnishings that can be acquired, including the following. 28 new furnishing plans, which can be acquired from chests in the Infinite Archive. 2 new achievement furnishings that can be earned from Oathsworn Pit and Bedlam Vale achievements and purchased from the Undaunted Quartermasters. And 7 new master furnishings, which can be purchased from Rolus Lalu. So, a lot of good stuff for you housing people out there.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. All right, next up we have new container icons. Several new container icons are coming to help differentiate between various containers from daily quests. Delve daily quest icon, or Delve daily quest containers will have a Delve icon. World Boss daily quests will have World Boss. Incursion daily will have the Incursion and Portal icon, with the exception of Dragons, which will have a Dragon icon. The Trial weekly coffer will have the Trial icon. Rewards of the Worthy will have a Battleground banner icon. Tribute game reward will have the Tribute icon. Undaunted daily Delve quest container will have the Undaunted icon. Dungeon one-time quest will have an Undaunted icon. Mage's Guild and Fighter's Guild will have Mage's Guild or Fighter's Guild icons. So, that's actually kind of neat. That way you know what you got. Especially when you're doing some of the DLC dailies where it's like certain style pages will drop from a certain... Like, some will drop from the Delve, and others will drop from the World Boss. So, being able to know which one's which is actually pretty good for in those instances.
So, after the 50 new icons they added, they also are adding UI font rendering. And the game now uses a new UI font rendering system, which allows for future improvements to the game and provides small enhancements in some specific situations, such as nameplates and chat bubbles.
Interesting. I use, nameplates, so I wonder if I'll notice that.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was thinking.
They have a Mint spec update for PC. With the launch of Update 41, we are updating the recommended and minimum specs for PC and Mac. Those on the current specs will still be able to play. While ESO has been highly optimized for a wide set of hardware over the years, the slight change in the min specs is necessary to ensure a continued level of performance for older systems. With this shift, you'll be able to maintain that performance with newer content as well. More info. Oh, and there's more info in the patch notes. I think they went on and on and on, and I didn't really understand anything that was being said, so... If you're interested in what the minimal spec update is, then it's there for you to look at.
Fair enough. And to coincide with that, they also had updates to the graphics setting presets, where they say they have adjusted the recommended spec graphics card and the medium, high, ultra presets in game. The change in the recommended spec graphics card is to ensure a target of playing on high settings at 60 plus FPS. With the medium, high, ultra preset changes, we are not changing your existing settings. If you are currently on any of these different presets, after the min spec change, your settings will remain the same, but titled custom rather than medium, high, or ultra.
All right, next up we have Tales of Tribute. Expert Tribute. NPCs will now have upgraded cards when they select the Hermaeus Mora deck. Proficient Tribute NPCs will now have the upgraded Amalexia deck cards, as well as the base Herma Mora deck. And, these NPCs just don't stop getting better. Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah.
They're always learning, always getting better.
And I keep not getting better, so it's not going to...
Yeah. they're gonna beat you. You're gonna fight against like the basic one, and you're gonna lose. I'm gonna lose too. But
well, how about this, dog? In the Blessed Crucible, the front gate will now open regardless of when the quest is accepted. How about that?
You know, I like that because you know, I sit there. I'm like, all right, let's go, people, let's go. Hurry up, people. I just want to kill you. Can I kill you yet? No. Let's sigh. And then eventually, you know, 45 seconds later, you can kill them. So. All right. Next up, we have the Infinite Archive. Thoat now grants 10% more experience when slain by duo players. You can no longer buy too much of an item fragment beyond the amount you need in an Infinite Archive. Threads will no longer be removed erroneously if monsters evade while you are still engaged with them. And style pages in the Infinite Archive are now curated. And then in the next category for stages, knocking enemies from stages from within the Infinite Archive will no longer result in stalled progress or thread loss. Portals to the unknown. The pursuit passive in the werewolf skill line now correctly reapplies after your character returns from transformations. The versus and visions. The guardian of pestilence no longer reduces damage to itself the same way as other player pets, ensuring its special ability can be used more often. And the fire orb can no longer be removed by enemies. Both pretty good right there. And then lastly, cycle bosses. Lady Thorn no longer has a chance to remain untargetable after using her scatter ability. So, that's good because no one likes Lady Thorn. Her and her nonsense flying in the air, being untargetable, and just her laughing at you. Bob doesn't like her either.
Who does?
That's a good question. Maybe Mr. Thorn?
I remember her being pretty popular, honestly, for the ESO community for whatever reason. So
definitely not for her mechanics.
Definitely not. All right. Outside of that, there were many other bug fixes, and the guild history events that you participated in will now be visible regardless of permission. This will allow you to keep track of something like your own past gold deposits to the guild bank, even without the permission to see other transactions. And they also made further optimizations to guild history, resulting in the shifting of some events into new and different categories. So that's always nice to see them working on that kind of stuff, because it does feel a little outdated at this point. Some of that UI stuff, especially the stuff for guild, you know, guild leaders and guild members to really take advantage of. So it's good to see. And with that, it's going to wrap up our first, I believe, of two of these patch notes episodes. Right, dog?
Correct. You know, second of three if you count the little PvP stuff of last week.
But that's true. That's true. So, yeah, we do have more for you guys, and we'll be pumping it out this weekend as well. As always, we hope you guys enjoyed, and we thank you guys for being here with us. Dog, why don't you let them know where they can find us?
All right, you can find us on X or Twitter of the @RedDiamondCast. You can find us in our ESO PC or Xbox guild of Heirs the Red Diamond, which you can join on the Robots Radio Discord found at robotsradio.net.
And if you check our show notes, you can find links to all awesome things like our music producer, our sponsors, and ESO-hub.com, which can answer any of your ESO questions. And if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple with some words, we will gladly shout it to the stars. Or if you leave us a 5-star on Spotify, you will have our eternal gratitude. So, and it really does make a difference. I promise you that. So I really thank you guys when you do that. And Dogged, what about you, my man?
All right, you can find me on Xbox, X, Twitter, ESOPC, all up at DogBark24.
And same for me, just at Bob underscore Chachinsky or space Chachinsky on Xbox. So come hang out with us, come talk some ESO, and overall enjoy your guys' weekend with you know, getting ready for update 41 on console and just delving into it on PC. And we will be back with you guys shortly with the finale of our patch notes episodes, and we will see you then.
Yep, see ya.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hey there, my name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of The DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests in the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.